from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hi, welcome in, everybody, to a Thursday edition of Sports Daily. Glad to have you here. Albrecht and Kester, Jad Chambers, man in the ship for us, the controls. He's got that IHOP hotline under control, which is brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring back It's All You Can Eat Pancakes deal through September 15th. That number is 869-1240. You can reach us that way. You can reach us on all our video streaming capabilities, thanks to those watching us on 12 News Connected. You can also see us on Facebook, YouTube, X. You can leave us your comments there. You can call, give us your comments on that IHOP hotline. You can reach out to us directly on social media. All kinds of different ways to get in touch with the program. Thanks for listening to us on KFH and the Odyssey app as well. It is Sports Daily. We're growing. We're getting ready for football season. And for the first time in a while, we got baseball season to get us there. The Royals win again. Or is it the White Sox lose again? I'm not sure. But good stuff there from Kansas City to get out of there. A lightning performance from one of their new acquisitions at the trade deadline. We'll get into all of that as they win. Maybe some Olympics talk, some Chiefs talk to get to as well. We're going to have our buddy Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, joins us every Thursday, moving his time up a little bit. He's going to join us at the bottom of this hour to get us ready for K-State fall work, as we've seen KU get underway this week. So we'll have that coming for you. We'll have Jay Delling. The Heritage Classic is out there at Rolling Hills this week. It's big-time women's golf tournament. Jay Delling, you might recognize the name, always a part of the Wichita Open. Well, he's out there helping with that event, so we'll get him in a little later in the program as well to tell us what's going on, and we'll get your opportunity to win some tickets out to the party deck at that tournament as well. We'll give away some HTO, lots of giveaways today. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little tired this morning. That storm rolled through middle of the night.
Yeah.
Our power went out. It was out for like 2.5 hours. So it was kind of a back and forth night between sleeping and waking up and sleeping and waking up, but I'm here, I'm ready to go. I've got the coffee, I'm fueled up and ready for another day.
Hey, by the way, thanks for Prairie Fire Coffee, fueling us up each and every day here at KFH and all the Odyssey, radio stations. They've always got us handled there, in the break room, big old, what is that? A vat of coffee. I don't know what the proper terminology is.
I think carafe is the correct term.
It's enormous. Isn't a carafe small? I don't know what
I mean, you work in the beverage industry. I think you would probably know what the word carafe
is. We don't sell vats of tea. We have gallons of tea. We have bigger we actually do sell big containers of coffee. We call it a coffee box. That's a little different than that contraption in the Odyssey break room that dispenses the delicious Brayfire coffee every day. We appreciate their support.
And the correct term is carafe.
Thank you, Jed. Thank you.
That large thing is a carafe?
Yes, it is.
Jeez, now I'm appropriately embarrassed, which is not at all, but appropriately embarrassed. Hey, we've got Team USA golf happening right now, it would appear. I continue to enjoy the Olympics. I'm ready for track and field. I will tell you that. But it still continues for me, Tommy, right now to be a Royals party that we're all just, you know, sort of taking in. The Guardians continue to win a ton of games. What's funny is Kansas City has a better run differential this year than Cleveland, but trails them by 6 games. So again, I think we take the AL Central and we put it off to the side right now and pay a little more attention to the wild card race where the Royals and the Twins are, you know, essentially tied. The Royals have played a couple more games than Minnesota. But Boston and Seattle, now 2 games back, 3.5 games back. Kansas City's about to play a series against Boston here pretty quick. But another big win against the White Sox. And look, it's the White Sox. I get it. They've won 17 games in a row. But they're going to snap that
lost
losing streak at some
games
point.
In a row.
Is that what I... Yeah, that's yeah, no, they lost 17
won.
Games
they've
in a row.
Lost 17 games in a row.
They're going to snap it at some point, and you don't want it to be against your team. So the Royals get it done. 2 of those games in comeback fashion. Yesterday was not particularly close. The Royals just kept adding to it and kept adding to it. Bobby Witt Jr. continues his tear. 2 for 3, scored 3 runs, had a couple of walks, just ridiculous. Michael Garcia had a nice day leading off in the game, which was good to see. They've just sort of, Quatraro just sort of rotating guys in there at the leadoff spot, which is, I suppose, about all he can do. But to me, Tommy, all of that happening, Brady Singer settled in for a nice 7-inning start after a rocky start. Out of everything we saw yesterday, to me, the most exciting was the new acquisition, Lucas Hursek, coming in, striking two guys out in an inning with 99 and 100 mile per hour gas. If you haven't seen the video, the second one especially, 100 miles an hour on the black. I'll tell you right now, that profile is better than anybody else they've got at closer. I would imagine, and I would make a guess for you after one appearance, that is what ultimately happens. If he has that kind of stuff, that's sort of what you need to do there. But a great first performance from him as we get the news that it's going to be Lorenzen in the starting rotation, and they option Alec Marsh down to AAA yesterday, which I would be a little surprised if we don't see Marsh called back up at some point here. Maybe an opportunity to rest him a little bit and stretch out his starts, but They're going, man, and they're aggressive. And DeYoung was in the lineup yesterday, so we're seeing all of these guys. And we saw Harvey 2 days ago. Good to see him back. He's still not pitching very well, but good to at least see him back from his physical stuff. Here we go. I mean, this is it. This is the team now. We've talked about the trade deadline for 2 months. I joked yesterday, I'm kind of sad it's gone, but it's gone, and this is it. Unless they make some veteran trade later on, which we know happens now, this is the group, and I think it's good enough to make the postseason.
Yeah, I wasn't on the show yesterday, and so I didn't get a chance to talk about the trade deadline, didn't get a chance to talk about Hursek or DeYoung coming over to the Royals. The way I described it, at least on social media, when the trade deadline came and went, was that I feel like the Royals, their trade deadline acquisitions, it was kind of like a bowl of vanilla ice cream. It was fine. I like vanilla ice cream. I'll eat it. It tastes good. It wasn't a hot fudge sundae. It wasn't, you know, blockbuster. I kind of thought that it would be, but I think they got outbid basically every time they tried to make a bigger move. So it was fine. It wasn't anything mind-blowing or earth-shattering for the Royals, but as long as they can get some reinforcements, that really was what I think a lot of these acquisitions turned into, reinforcements. You know, DeYoung is not an outfielder, but he is.
No, he's a reinforcement.
But he is versatile. He's a reinforcement. I think Hursek is a reinforcement in the bullpen. Now, he's got, by the way, he's got velocity enough to where I think he probably slots in as one of, if not the best bullpen pieces currently that the Royals have, you know, in that pen. But I mean, for sure, a reinforcement there. Hunter Harvey, we know, is a reinforcement. You know, so I do think that there were, you know, those moves that were made that, while not earth shattering, Lorenzen's another one. I think it does help them provide more depth going through this home stretch of the season.
I think Hursek has a chance to be more than depth. And honestly, I think Harvey does too. I think those guys, if Harvey, stuff-wise, we'll just call it stuff-wise, Harvey provides, you know, an opportunity for them to be better than they were. Urcig certainly does. They get control of both of those guys. When we look at it, Lorenzen kind of just cost him money. DeJong just kind of cost them money. I mean, there were prospects involved, certainly, but too far away for us to have a good grasp of that. So John Sherman, he put his money where his mouth was. And J.J. Piccolo stayed true to what he told us a few weeks ago. They weren't going to do what I thought they should do, which is go all in and to hell with everything else, which is fine. I'm satisfied with their trade deadline. But, you know, whether they would have had enough to go in and get some of these guys, I'm not sure. But I do want to applaud the outside-the-box thinking. Nobody heard Lucas Ursig's name as a trade candidate. Nobody heard Hunter Harvey's name as a trade candidate. Those guys weren't supposed to be trade candidates because they had so much control. And the Royals identified those guys as players they wanted to attack more aggressively because they could keep the control. So they did what they said they wanted to do, which is go for the now and look to the future at the same time. So they did a good job. I you know, Ursig, I didn't know anything about him. I've just seen his numbers. I haven't watched Oakland play outside of the times they've played Kansas City. But that stuff that we saw last night, that profile's late inning. That profile's probably better than anybody they've got. So I hope he maybe catches a little lightning in a bottle here and could potentially become this team's closer down the stretch. To one quick other note, and we'll take a break and get to Tim Fitzgerald later in the bottom of the hour. Vanilla ice cream is better than a hot fudge sundae. And I find it interesting that you won't mix your foods, yet you'll take a dessert and take three or four different things and just put them all together.
I don't know how many times we have to go over this. I feel like I have to refresh your memory every single time. It's all about flavor profiles. You know, like a hot fudge sundae is sweet on sweet on sweet, so it's not a big deal, you know, to mix those.
What about the nuts there?
You know, you can add a little bit of savory in there, a little bit of salty, you know, in that mix.
Yeah, sort of like when your bacon touches your syrup from your pancakes.
I've never had a problem with that. I've told you before, what I have a problem with is like my watermelon getting into my gravy from my mashed potatoes. Like that's too much. I can't do that. You know, my ketchup getting into my strawberries. Like that's not going to be a good flavor combination. Hot fudge sundae, it's a great flavor combination.
Okay. And nobody knew that until they tried it. That's all I'm saying. You never know until you try it. Somebody at some point was like, you know what? That ice cream's really good. Let's take some chocolate sauce and just put it all over that thing.
Yeah, that would be common sense. I mean, I don't think that there's much. I don't think there's much mental gymnastics that are required to be able to make the connection that sweet vanilla ice cream and sweet chocolate fudge sauce would be good together.
Who'd have known dipping a French fry in ketchup would be such a delightful delicacy? That doesn't make sense. The sweet ketchup, a salty fried potato. You just gotta get out there. Anyway, I just had to throw that in there. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk about the game yesterday with the Royals more in depth than we did. Just the bird's eye look there at a nice Thursday, a nice series for Kansas City that could have got a little sideways on them, quite frankly. But the swag does feel like it's back. Trade deadline acquisitions look good. I want to talk about the Lorenzen / Alec Marsh decision a little bit as well when we return. It's all Brockton Caster. You can get in touch with the show lots of different ways. Give us a call, 869-1240. We'll have that hotline tied up a little bit, but open next segment. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. All this baseball coverage on KFH presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Welcome back. Jake Balbrock, Tommy Caster here with you on this Thursday. Tim Fitzgerald, join us next segment as K-State begins football practice. And it'll open up a little bit, Tommy, to the media today. So certainly excited about that for K-State. We've had KU underway pretty much all week here. So we'll get the early expectations. What are we watching for from Fitz in just a little bit? We're talking Royals baseball right now, though. Another win last night as the Royals continue to play well here through a series. I get it. It's against Chicago. You're supposed to sweep Chicago. Talked about it yesterday, Tommy. You weren't here. The Royals, I think, if they're going to do this, they have got to win the games they play against bad teams, you know, at a really high clip, I think. I think you've got to beat up on the bad teams. It continues tonight. They go to Detroit for four games. They have to be able to win. They cannot. And I say that because we saw them struggle against the Cubs. We've seen them struggle against the Rockies. Like, there are all these little series against teams they need to be beating up on where you feel like they're wasted opportunities. At minimum, they have to be really good in those games, I think, if they're going to get this done. And they've, you know, they've got a nice lead there, and they'll have their chance to beat up on the teams they face directly. But in the meantime, that's what good teams do. They beat bad teams, and Chicago's the worst of it. Chicago's the worst we've seen in a long time. And they needed two late inning comebacks to get it done, but they got it done. They got it done. They get the sweep, and now they continue to ride forward. So we get the news before the game yesterday. It was literally right as we went off the air yesterday that Alec Marsh is optioned to AAA. We didn't have a chance at all to talk about that. I think that's a pretty big piece of news for this team, what they're doing. Look, Lorenzen in totality has been better than Marsh this year. You can look at it as simple as that. But in his July starts, Tommy, Marsh gave up 5-3, 5-2 runs in his starts. And that two-run performance was just in 4 2/3. He hasn't been particularly good for a little while now. And his ERA has jumped from, you know, 3.63 on June 13th to 4.71 on July 29th. This was the correct move. Now the question becomes, what happens with Marsh? My guess is he'll just sit down there, maybe stretch his starts out a little bit, rest up, and then if at any moment's notice somebody needs to skip a start in the big leagues, he'll just jump back up. I don't know how many options he has. That's the one piece of this I don't know. But it makes sense because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, it's the right timing for it, you know, and being able to, you know, potentially have him available and ready to go for a playoff push, you know, I think is important. It is the opposite of what I initially thought the Royals were going to do, like almost the exact opposite, because I thought they were bringing Lorenzen in to be the spot starter guy, to pitch out of the bullpen, to come in and fill in as a starter when needed. And really, it's almost the exact opposite, although Marsh is being optioned to AAA. But it's, I think that they're going to, I mean, obviously Lorenzen will be in the rotation, and Marsh, presumably, I would think, could be that spot starter if necessary. I see him being, you know, the kind of player down the stretch where I don't know if the Royals have any scheduled doubleheaders coming up or like makeup games, or if there are rainouts down the stretch where you can then add an additional player for a doubleheader and you call somebody up to pitch the second game of a doubleheader, then they go right back down. Like, I can kind of see Alec Marsh in that role down the stretch. But I do think from an overall viewpoint, I think it is important to make sure that, you know, what has happened to him in the month of July doesn't continue. I think that they feel like he could be a contributor for them in the playoffs. How much of a contributor, I don't know, but you need to have the, you know, Alec Marsh has always been feast or famine. You need the feast Alec Marsh and not the famine Alec Marsh. And he's been more famine than feast in the month of July.
No question. And look, the likelihood is that they will absolutely need him this year. They're very likely to need him to come in and do something for them this year. But what's interesting is if you go back and you look at their other starts and you look at the career, you know, max innings pitched, okay, the most innings Seth Lugo has ever pitched in a season, Tommy, 146. Last year, he's at 142, and it's August 1st. Okay, Cole Reagans will pull him up. Obviously, a young pitcher, he's not going to have this sort of innings load. Most innings he's ever pitched was last year in the big leagues. 71 innings for Kansas City. He's already at 128. We can have the same conversation about Brady Singer. I pull up Brady Singer's career stats. Most innings he's ever pitched in a season came last year. 159. Okay, he had 125. And we'll talk about this later in the show. Because I don't know if it's attainable. In a perfect world, you can get all those guys extra rest. The problem is you're in the middle of a playoff chase. So interesting things with Quatraro, but we'll get back to that. Let's talk about, you know, Marsh's role potentially that way in just a little bit. We're going to pivot though, because joining us next on the program via video, Tim Fitzgerald, K-State opens practice today. Perfect timing. We'll get Fitz in next to talk about what we should be looking for up there in Manhattan. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily on a Thursday, and that means we talk to our buddy Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here, Jad Chambers producing. Fitz and the GoPowerCat crew very busy right now because we get the start of K-State practice, at least a part we can see this morning. Tim joining us via our video stream. You can see it on 12 News Connected right now. And holy purple, Fitz, that's quite a setup you got there.
Yeah, I don't have the right sign up this morning because I got to do my Big 12 show right after the football practice. So you get kind of the watered down version.
Well, listen, my 7-year-old daughter is a K-State fan, and I always ask her why she has it. For two simple reasons: she likes purple and she likes cats. And so she's like, I'm a K-State fan. They're purple and they're the cats. And I'm like, okay, well, that's good. So it's she science. Would love your setup. I'm gonna take a picture of that for her and hope she doesn't get any bright ideas of what to do to my home studio here. Fitz.
Let's not show her the stuffed wildcat on my wall. She might be upset.
Yeah, we would have to explain that to her. We've got to. Yeah. That's we're a quick side note. And maybe you guys have some input on this. We have a old cat at the house. And, you know, there are some signs that we made that you know, things could go sideways on us. And I have no idea what to do because it's going to be an absolute nightmare in this house when the inevitable happens. But although they already have burial plans, apparently we're going to make him a tomb and a monument in our backyard.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Anywho, yeah, it's going to be good.
That'll be lovely for resale.
Absolutely. Fitz, practice starts today. So we got a chance to see and hear about KU very early in the week. K-State, I assume, has been practicing the same amount of time. We just haven't been able to see them or talk to them yet. Is that how this is working out?
Well, they practiced yesterday. Doesn't KU open on a Friday?
We've already been up there. They already practiced. So we had them. We saw Jalen Daniels. Was that Tuesday, I think?
Yeah, they opened a little bit earlier because they opened their season a little bit earlier. Right. But yeah, K-State did practice yesterday. This morning, the media is welcomed in at 10 a.m. Very precise, very Snyder-like of Chris Klieman. And that's why I'm here early, because I can't be two places at once.
I like that. I saw that yesterday there was the big commitment from the former Wake Forest commit, Logan Bartley, 6'1", 190-pound safety, going to play for Chris Klieman. What does he bring right away to that K-State defense?
This is a kid that is physical. He's big. He's also extremely fast. I mean, he's tested really well. An injury kind of knocked him off his recruiting course. He had a lot of high power four interest. And most teams just backed away. K-State brought him in and looked at him and thought he's good to go. We're going to offer him. And he had been a Wake Forest commit, and he flipped over, kind of fell in love with everything in Manhattan. But you know how that works, Tommy. He could see another shiny object in a couple weeks and like that more. So we'll see how that one plays out. But he seemed pretty content with his choice, and that's a really good pickup. They had another athlete they picked up earlier in the week. This has been a really good recruiting class by Kansas State standards. They've broken into the top 40 now nationally. And I really am excited maybe to see this team start getting, top 40 type talent, according to the recruiting services, because they've been developing so much of their talent and succeeding. But what if they actually did start getting a higher grade of talent coming out of high school? It's going to get interesting for K-State because they're recruiting at a pretty high level.
Yeah, what if you start higher? I agree. Just as a quick aside, since we're talking recruiting, I saw Deshaun Brame of Derby, who was an Oregon commit, flipped to Tennessee. They had been in on Lincoln Cure. I assume that they'll pick up the phone and call. How locked in is that? It's such a weird time in the recruiting world when you see that.
How locked in, Lincoln?
Yeah, because I've been asked that question. People are like, oh, no, Oregon's back on the table. What if they come with some huge offer to Lincoln? But I don't, and I have no idea. But is there any concern at all in Manhattan about something like that?
It's easy to say you're not motivated by NIL or money. until the bag is put in front of your face. And then you find the answer. But I don't think Lincoln Kier is going anywhere. I think he's very happy with his choice. Yeah, Oregon might want to avoid the state of Kansas for a while. They lost Avery. They lost back-to-back tight ends. It's interesting that a program of the stature of Oregon is in Kansas so much. It's a great compliment to where the level of play is here. And, of course, Dan Lanning, being a Kansan, probably wants some of his hometown cooking or home state cooking, and it's not working out that way.
You know, I know we've talked during this offseason, Fitz, a lot about the talent offensively and then the new faces and what, you know, guys like Dylan Edwards and Avery Johnson can do. And, of course, the new additions at wide receiver like Dante Cephas, and seeing if Keegan Johnson can take another step forward. I also wonder, I mean, we've talked a lot about the talent. Connor Riley is, you know, basically, I know he's got a co-offensive coordinator, you know, on staff with him, but it's, I mean, think by all accounts, his offense, right? I mean, like, he's the guy. So during this offseason, you know, he's really kind of stepped into that role and taken it over. What kind of indications have you gotten as we get into practice and getting ready for this season with the way that he's developing this offense and trying to take over and be able to manage this new talent on the K-State offense?
Yeah, it's a great question. And one we honestly don't know quite yet. I mean, they went through spring football, but Dylan Edwards wasn't there. And they're just getting started. We'll have some press conferences coming up that I'm sure that will be a big topic of discussion. And while Connor Riley is the offensive coordinator, it does fall on his shoulders. Having a Matt Wells, who's been a coordinator and a head coach and was a quarterback, as a quarterback coach, having him, an experienced guy like that at your side, certainly helps. He's offering, you know, some input how to use Avery in the best possible way. I think K-State's in a good position right now with its offensive coaches. I know the loss of Colin Klein stung because he is a hometown kid, basically. You know, he's from Colorado, but he's a K-Stater. So I think people were a little worried about it. I was never worried about Connor Riley calling plays. I know he's an incredibly bright football mind, but it does get different when you got to call it live fire in the heat of a game. I thought he did a good job in the bowl game, but we'll see how he can incorporate Dylan Edwards with DJ Giddens and then the receiver core that's pretty good and still some pretty good tight ends. He's just got a lot of toys, guys. I mean, how is he going to play with all of them and put it out there? Becomes a very interesting question that honestly we may not really start to know till Arizona or at BYU. We'll see how they play that. But I think this is going to be a little bit different offense, but not radically.
I think it is interesting, too, because I do the same thing. When I think about K-State, I'm thinking about the offense, how explosive it can be, the addition of Dylan Edwards. The reality probably is we need to know more about the defense. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a good feel for it. You know, when we talked about KU, their defense is coming along. I mean, obviously they've got the two great defensive backs and they've kind of got some buzz there. I really don't know anything about what to expect from that side of the ball from K-State. And they got to be good there if they want to be as good as we think they can be. I mean, how good can they be? What is the ceiling for the defense?
I think this defense might be improved over last year's. they're going to make some schematic tweaks here also. So that will be fun to observe. They've kind of been standoffish about sharing too many details, but it involves maybe a stand-up defensive end when you want four linemen. But they return a lot of experience in the back end, Marquise Siegel and VJ Payne at safety. You've got Parrish and Garber at corner. You've got speed. You've got Austin Moore and Purnell at linebacker. You do return a lot on this team that's been pretty productive, but really the key to how this defense will perform is that defensive end. They've got some young guys that they're absolutely raving about. They absolutely love these young defensive ends that'll be redshirt freshmen. They got two or three of them that are going to see the field. They've got a great rotation at defensive end with Brendan Mott being back. That's one of the biggest things I'm excited to see is how good are these defensive ends, because they haven't been shy in saying these dudes are going to play and they're going to be effective.
We know how difficult it's going to be, Fitz, for the Wildcats to replace a player the caliber of Cooper Beebe. We've talked about it before on this show. Also, Ben Sinnott. I think that, you know, everybody kind of focuses on, you know, they don't have Beebe anymore and how do you replace him on the line. Ben Sennett's not on that team either. What do you think the Wildcats are going to do at tight end? Are there some underclassmen potentially that are stepping in that could potentially be maybe not the next Ben Sennett, but still be productive in that role?
Yeah, well, Garrett Oakley's back, and he was, you know, the more of the receiver type of tight end. And I think he's going to be really effective. He runs great routes. He's a big kid. I think they're going to still throw to the tight end. Will they be as effective in making themselves available as Ben Sennett was? And let's be honest here. There's a lot to be said about being fast and having good hands. But if you're not open, who cares? And he would always find that space to be open, be available to his quarterback. And if Oakley can mimic that, I think it'll be a really good step forward. I kind of look at him as wearing where Sennett was at the start of a couple seasons ago when we didn't really know that much about him, and he slowly got involved in the offense more and more, and I think he grew in confidence. I think the same thing will happen with the tight ends. And again, this is a position with some young talent at it that could step forward, and then you've got Lincoln Cure coming in next year. I think it's clear that they have an emphasis on getting high-level tight ends now because it really opens up that offense.
What is the best-case scenario at the position with the players there? Like, what if – and maybe this is a question not just for this year, but we talk about Lincoln Cure. We know Will Ancio from this part of the world. Like, could this become an offense that it like just runs two tight ends, which, by the way, feels like a good fit with Avery. And I would point people to Lamar Jackson and his use of tight ends for guys that can really run and have big arms. Tight ends can be their best friend. You know, that's where the Sennett loss, I think, hurts Avery, but there are three or four guys there. Can they use all of them if they all reach their potential?
Yeah, they've been known. I mean, they saw three tight ends were on the field last year. I imagine there will be three tight ends that rotating through the process. As you mentioned, there's a lot of good ones, but we're not real sure who the third one will be yet. I think the biggest loss for Ben Sennett was his flexibility to be a fullback and to go split wide. I'm not sure where the guys are in that process. Someone's going to have to, you know, be that guy that drops back into the backfield to be a fullback on occasional plays. So someone's going to have to step up to get that done. But I think they've got some really good parts of that position.
So Fitz, I've got a couple of friends that are diehard Iowa football fans. And I for the life of me, don't know why, but they are. I mean, that's got to be brutal.
Watching paint dry is fun.
Exactly. Yep. But I knew a lot about, or a little bit, at least a little bit about Keegan Johnson before last season when he transferred in to K-State. I was excited to watch him as a Wildcat because I felt like with his size and athleticism and all of that, you go from an offense like Iowa to an offense potentially like K-State. You know, that's a step up. I know he battled through some things last season, but as far as what he is poised to do or what you think he can do from last season to this year for the Wildcats, what sort of impact do you think he'll make?
Well, hopefully he's healthy because his last two seasons he hasn't been. He struggled with it quite a bit last year, and then we saw him come on later in the year when he started to feel much better. If he's healthy, I think he's going to be really effective. But again, when a player's been injured a couple seasons, you always have to put that asterisk by him. Is he going to be effective? If K-State will be much better off offensively if Keegan Johnson's healthy and running at 100%, but they kind of got by last year. I don't know. You mix in Dante Cephas coming in from Penn State. Maybe that will help. They do have some really gifted players, including Jace Brown, who's back at the receiver position. So I think if Keegan can finally find his footing and realize, hey, it's going to be fine without you. All the pressure in the world is not on you. And just go out and play like he did at Texas. I think he's going to be really effective.
Tim Fitzgerald joining us, publisher, gopowercat.com, at Life of Fitz on social. So as we begin practice in about 20 minutes, the number one thing Tim Fitzgerald looks for in these early days of camp is what? It was obvious in Lawrence, Jalen Daniels and his back. Right. I think it's less obvious in Manhattan. So what is it that we need to be paying attention to early?
For me, I'm going to be paying attention to who's where on the offensive line. Because once they sort out who's going to be the center, then everything else kind of falls in place. And also that receiver rotation, they probably won't show us too much in terms of how they'll use Dylan Edwards, but that's a big curiosity. You're going to have to get him on the field, and you already have an elite running back in DJ Giddens, so you're going to have to get a little creative, and I think they will. I don't expect them to show us a damn thing about that. Probably until maybe Tulane if they need it, but certainly Arizona in game three. And defensively, just kind of the rotations they have at D end, at nose tackle, where, you know, they got Uso back and they've got some other guys there that could really be effective. And are they going to show us any of that four-man front in practice? I doubt it. But really, when you go to these things, you got about 20, 30 minutes to just absorb as much as the rotation of players as you possibly can. And they don't show you a ton. They'll let Avery throw the ball around a little bit, which is always impressive. I'm telling you that people in the national media, even some local media, say he's a running quarterback. They just go to a practice, yeah. Man. This dude can throw it all over the field.
Switching gears a little bit, Fitz, I saw you had a daily delivery a little while ago. Pretty interesting one. The latest realignment rumors, what, Oregon State and Washington State potentially to the Big 12? What's up with that?
Yeah, it's all, as far as I can tell, it's utter nonsense. It's, you know, some of the social media accounts that just really want to generate traffic and buzz for whatever reason, probably ego, putting that out there. I mean, why would this come back now when they were just passed on a year ago? It doesn't make any sense. Why would ESPN even care? Those two schools were never under their domain, really. It's more of a Fox thing out west. So it didn't make sense. And I sense it's just guys who love to talk about realignment, because let's not be mistaken. When we talk about realignment, the numbers go up. So we talk about it a lot, but we're only going to talk about real tangible stuff unless I'm making fun of things like I did today with that daily delivery. Because I think after the addiction of having so many high number, high volume videos and tweets that get retweeted and shared, I think they get addicted to that. And they, now that the ACC is calming down leading up to football, they had to have a little more oomph in there. And I don't buy it for 1 second. Maybe in the grand plans on down the road, if the Big 12 is 24 teams, maybe that will get to Oregon State and Washington State. It's just been an unfortunate side effect of realignment, and it's not the Big 12's problem to solve.
It's not. And as long as they keep invitations open in the 12-team playoff, everything will be okay. I mean, I know it sucks for those schools, but they still got a chance to get in there and play for a championship. And that's the part of it. But yeah, no, I'm with you. Like, no sense. If it doesn't add to a TV package, the Big 12 ain't interested.
No.
And that, because that's the only thing, that's it. That's all that matters to survival right now. That's all that matters to longevity, is what TV deal can you secure? So if it's not adding to that, like, why the hell would you talk to anybody? And so, like, people might say, well, Gonzaga doesn't add anything for football. Yeah, but it does for basketball.
Yeah.
Right.
And well, they won't take any football money either.
Yeah. Right. So what is it? Yeah. What are you bringing to the table? And I honestly, no offense intended to either of those schools, because I love them both. They don't bring anything to the table financially that I can see, because you're already on the West Coast. Nobody's staying up to watch Oregon State football, right? That you know, you might stay up to watch Arizona, but you're not staying up to watch Oregon State.
That's kind of the way I feel. And look, Oregon State is a really well-balanced athletic department.
They're good.
If they land in a conference, they're going to better the athletic product, but do they better the television product? And it does come back to that, and I don't see how they do that, at least not right now.
All right, Fitz, what do you guys have going as practice begins here shortly? What can we expect to go powercat.com?
Well, hopefully we'll have some coverage of that. This little video and some still photos, and we'll have another person there. My nephew Ethan is starting to help out with the company, which is great. Yeah, he's a walking encyclopedia of Kansas State football. So he's going to go and keep an eye on all the rotations with me today as we get ready for football. Guys, it's here.
There have been famous nephews in the news this week. Are you the crazy uncle, Fitz? Atomic crazy? I'm an uncle 12 times over. I'm not sure if I'm that one. I might be. Does the crazy uncle know they're the crazy uncle?
I do. Yes.
Okay.
I do. I think we know by my daily behavior that the world knows that.
You got to lean into it. If you're the crazy uncle and you know you're the crazy uncle, you double down on being the crazy uncle.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
if you're an ugly actor, you take the roles for ugly people.
It's true.
That's the way I am.
It's a good thing. No, none of us have that concern.
No.
We're all A-list rom-com stars here. Well, crazy uncle Tim Fitzgerald, he'll have all the coverage for you. GoPowerCat.com, at Life of Fitz on social. All of his crew will be there in full force to cover things for us. And we'll check in next week on any early returns from fall practice. Fitz, appreciate it. Enjoy the day.
Thanks, boys.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald. You can find all that work. Always great stuff. Always keeping things interesting there in Manhattan. Love being able to bring in the video portion of that. Really, really cool. You can always see that on 12 News Connected. You can go back, by the way, and watch that on any of the streams, whether you find it on Facebook or YouTube or X, wherever you find it, you can go back and watch it. And wherever you're listening, you can go back and get it that way too, through the Odyssey app. We podcast this out. So, you know, it's interesting. Like, a lot of people, of course, listen to us as they're making their way around and about town as a part of their day. A lot of people listen to the show in the aftermath, right? Go, maybe you're driving around later in the day, but you want something to pass the time. You can always go back and find the show on the Odyssey app or at kfhradio.com. A couple of different ways. Let's set up hour number two here, Tommy. So we'll get back to that question about Alec Marsh and the Royals and what he might do. And when you look at the innings load so far, it's a good problem to have. It means everybody's stayed healthy for the Royals, and it means everybody's been good. But they are reaching uncharted territory, and I absolutely think we have seen signs of that wear and tear, you know, having an impact. In steps Michael Lorenzen now. What will the Royals do? We'll dig into that a little bit and sort of reset these thresholds all of these starting pitchers have reached. I want to know, I want Tommy to pull out his crystal ball and tell me who the closer would be in a wild card game. Who would the team's closer be? How does the bullpen shake out? So we'll look at all of that. We'll check into the NFL as well. And Jay Delling will join us to talk about a golf tournament you may not have heard about, but it's a big one on tour, and we'll give away some tickets to it. Before we do that, though, let's give away some HTO here. Text to win contest. You can win some iced tea, more than 20 flavors. You can win some free rain coffee, one of each. All you got to do is text the keyword tea, T-E-A, to the short code 20357 to win one of each of those. One entry per day. Message and data rates apply. Again, that's T to the short code 20357. Good luck, everybody. We're coming back hour number two of Sports Daily after this.
Start your day right. Start your day with 12 News This.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in. It is KFH's Sports Daily. I'm Jacob Albrecht alongside Tommy Kester. Jad Chambers producing, manning that IHOP hotline. Always brought to you by IHOP 869-1240. Right now, you can get in on the all-you-can-eat pancakes deal at IHOP through September 15th. Check that out. We're going to talk a little Royals baseball this hour. We'll talk a little football. We'll talk a little golf. The Heritage Classic in Wichita. Stay tuned for your opportunity to win some tickets for that as well. But we'll tell you exactly what it is. We're going to have Jay Delling in. You might recognize him from always being a part of the Wichita Open. He's helping them out, too. So we'll get that all explained later in the hour as well. Tommy, are you into all the, you know, the superhero movies and all of that stuff that's, you know, been a part of?
Somewhat. I mean, I've seen a handful of them. I don't know if I would consider myself, you know, a super fan. They're entertaining. Okay. I'll watch them when they're on, but I don't seek them out.
We went and watched Deadpool versus Wolverine the other night, a couple nights ago. You weren't here yesterday. It's really good. I don't know if you're into those movies. I love the movie theater. We try to go as often as we don't watch a lot of movies now. It's more for the kids movies, but I'll tell you, it was packed, and it's probably that and the Twisters thing. Like, it was,
we're going to go see Twisters next
on a
week.
Tuesday night.
I'm a weather nerd. Our anniversary is next week, and our favorite movie together, my wife and I, is the original Twister. Anytime it's on TV, we'll watch it. I think we quote lines to each other back and forth.
We've got a good
part of it memorized, so we're going to go see Twisters next week.
I mean, I watched it probably when it first came out, and then I remember we watched it in science class in like the sixth grade probably, and those are the only times I've ever seen that movie. And I chase tornadoes. Used to. I don't do that really anymore, but you know, we used to chase them for work all the time.
It's so hokey. Fine. It's a hokey movie, but it's...
That's totally fine. That's what I need in a movie theater. That's what I want.
Like, the number... I think people forget, too, like the original Twister, people forget the number of stars that are in that movie. I mean, obviously, Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt, but like Philip Seymour Hoffman is in that movie, and the friend from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and the guy from The Princess Bride, like there are big time stars
now,
in that movie.
So do you, when you go to the movies, do you guys go to like the, where you can sit and like have a drink and have the recliner?
We have. But I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen a movie in a movie theater with little kids. Like that's hard to do. So
I'm glad we're excited to do that.
Yeah,
we need to go more often. We go with the kids. Anytime there's a kids movie, we try to go. So we actually do make it in. So we go to the adult theater and, you know, I'm in line and of course we're going to get a drink and trying to figure it out. And you're like, you know what? I'm not going to get a big old beer because I'll probably have to pee. I'm almost 40 here. I'm like, you got to think about those things. I'm like, can I just have a whiskey and water? And the girl's like, a what? I'm like, a whiskey and water. She's like, what is that?
Give you a glass of whiskey and a bottle of water.
I was like, it's a whiskey and water in it. And she just kept she couldn't figure it out. And I'm like, is this like, what is this a joke? Like, is there one of these? I'm like, it's a whiskey and water. Like you put them together, and somebody had to come over and they're like, you take it and you get a water bottle. And I'm like, what are we explaining here? Maybe that's not a normal movie theater drink. It probably isn't. But it was a really funny exchange. Like that was sort of like it felt like a skit show exchange trying to order these drinks. But it is great. Support the movie theaters. I love going to the movie theater. I've told you before, I got no issue going by myself these days. I actually find that kind of enjoyable, like a late night movie. But let's get into something. I want to set this up. We talked about this just before we had Fitz on there. So Alec Marsh gets sent down yesterday for the Royals, which was interesting, but I think the right decision. You know, they added Michael Lorenzen. Michael Lorenzen has been better than Marsh. And Marsh has been awesome. You know, you remember before the season started, we were like, oh, the Royals are, you know, they're four deep here. We really like these four starting pitchers. We don't know what they'll get out of Alec Marsh, but who cares? I think if you evaluated what he's been as the fifth starter for this team, there isn't a person on the planet that wouldn't say he's done a really nice job, because he has done a really nice job. But Michael Lorenzen's been better, you know, objectively. What's really interesting, though, about that situation and the fact that at the moment they have sort of six starters now, and they added Lorenzen, is what does it mean for everything? Is it as simple as Marsh just goes down and doesn't come up unless they need a spot starter or somebody gets hurt? I'm not sure that it is. And this will be a really interesting thing to watch over the next month or so for Cotrero and how they, you know, how they manage this. And we set this up and I'll go over it again. I'm going to take you to the other starters right now in the rotation. So I don't think you worry about this as much with a guy like Lorenzen. But you could, because Michael Lorenzen has never thrown more than 113 innings, which he did his first year back in 2015. He threw 105 2 years ago. He's already at 101 innings. So he is going to surpass the most innings he's ever pitched. Okay. That's who they just added. Brady Singer. Most innings he's ever thrown came in last year, 159. He's already at 125. He'll pass that number. Cole Reagans, most he's ever thrown last year, 71. Okay, he's already at 128. And then even Seth Lugo, most innings he's ever thrown in a season, because remember, he just sort of became a starter like last year. And last year, he threw 146 innings. He was really good, right? He's already at 142. So every pitcher right now, as it currently stands, and Alec Marsh would fit this profile too, certainly as the number of innings at the big league level he's ever thrown. He threw 74 last year. He's already at 101. So you've got these six starters for Kansas City. All of them are, four of the six have been really, really good this year. And Lorenzen and Marsh have both been adequate. Lorenzen, you would call more than that. Lorenzen's been good. So you've got six of these guys who you feel good about, though, if they get out there and they take the ball. The question for me becomes, if all of them are going to surpass their innings totals and throw the most innings they've ever thrown, and they're all going to do it over the next couple of weeks, they're all going to do it before you even get to September, let alone October, what can you do to help that? And I really think there is something to trying to go to some sort of six-man rotation, even if it's just one or two times through. You know, like maybe in August, you give everybody, if every single pitcher got an extra day of rest, let's call it two times, what would that do for their longevity? And I'm not just talking about can they handle it physically. I'm talking about can they still be as effective? Because I do think it's fair to say that some of these guys, Seth Lugo, I mean, we have seen signs a little bit of fatigue perhaps with some of these guys. And so I think that's what makes the Lorenzen move so interesting to me. It's not just that he's an upgrade over Marsh, because he is. It's that you now use these players, these extra players, Lorenzen and Marsh to some degree, to buy extra rest for everybody else. It's going to be fascinating because you also are in the middle of a playoff chase and you just want to throw the best pitcher that you can throw every night that you can throw them, right? That's a part of it too. But these starters all get deep into games for the most part. It's been one of the strengths of the team, right? Can you prepare now for what's coming, you hope, in October? I think you almost have to. And how they do that will be really interesting to watch. They sent Marsh down because they needed room for Ursic and Harvey's back and all of these things happen. So if every single pitcher, all six of your starters now, are going to surpass their career innings ceiling this month, most of them in their next couple of starts probably, what about a six-man rotation for the month of August? For two times through the rotation, buys everybody at least one day of rest. You could do it twice and buy everybody an extra day of rest two times. I don't think it's crazy, Tommy, to do it. I'm going to stop short of calling it necessary because we don't know how these guys will handle these innings thresholds. They've never been there before. So we're guessing at that point. So I won't call it necessary, but I do think it would be relatively smart. And they're one of the very few teams in baseball who could do this and probably not lose a whole lot. Like if you slot Marsh in there and push everybody one start, I'll call it two times. I think it could help you if you get to October. I really do. Because I think we're seeing the fatigue in some of these guys. I think we've seen it certainly in Seth Lugo. But I think the fatigue's there. I mean, this is it. They're all going to pass, Tommy, those career innings heights probably in this month.
I think that the biggest thing, though, on top of that, that they need to look at, if you're going to do that, and I'm not opposed to looking at a situation where they do slot Alec Marsh in and slot everybody else back, and then you're kind of running a six-man rotation, it's not just giving them rest, but we know it's happened all season long how matchup dependent the Royals are, and how that rotation falls has absolutely mattered the entire year. Who they've put out on the mound when they faced certain teams, whether at home or on the road. So I think you need to do a deep dive on that too. I don't think it's as easy as just saying, yeah, slot Alec Marsh in there, make it a six-man rotation. Everybody gets bumped back a game and then you roll forward, because I understand the fatigue part of it. And that is a benefit potentially to be able to give a little bit of rest to your top guys on the rotation, but they are matchup dependent and you don't want to, you know, have some kind of negative outcome by switching some things around, by moving the pitchers back. And, you know, and it could very well be just as simple as you end up having Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo. If they're pushed back a game, well, then, you know, maybe they end up not being able to pitch in a game that you would really like them to pitch in, or pitch in a series that you would really like them to be able to pitch in. So I do think that that's something also that if they're going to even entertain the idea of let's throw Alec Marsh in there, let's kind of run a six-man rotation, or maybe even a five-and-a-half-man rotation where Alec Marsh gets one start every two turns through the rotation, if they're going to do that, they need to analyze all of the potential factors that would come into play with that.
So here's what risk I see in it and why I don't have why I couldn't just give you a good answer. If you go to do a six-man, how easy is it to go from a six-man back to a five-man? If you're giving extra rest, how easy is it to take that extra rest away? That's what I would have to ask somebody involved in these sorts of things. Like, can you go in and alter something like that and then revert back? Like, does the body respond appropriately? Or if you go to a six man, are you stuck with a six man? Because I don't think you want to do that either. And I don't know where you can, but teams do that, right? They'll stretch that out, but those aren't usually teams in the middle of a playoff chase and aren't usually teams that are already beginning to think about how the pitching staff would potentially shake out in a playoff series. I don't know what the right answer is. The good news is, it's a good problem to have. To have six good starters is a great problem to have. Most teams, you know, have a couple and are trying to figure that out. And how do you just get there? I just wonder if there's a way to help all of these guys at the same time. It'll be interesting to see. And I think probably what you do now, if you're the Royals, is you just watch closely the next couple of starts, especially for Lugo and Reagans. And Singer. Singer was a little shaky yesterday, but he ended up having a pretty good start. But I think you watch those starts and you just see if there are any signs of fatigue. And if there are, what about this? What if there's a situation of, yeah, we kind of need to go six guys the rest of the way? Because you know in the playoffs, that all gets thrown out the window. What if they went to a six-man rotation for 2 months? Could they still be good enough to reach the postseason? I mean, you have to think about that stuff.
I get it. I understand the potential appeal to it from a fatigue standpoint. Is it better to roll with five guys and Lorenzen being that fifth guy and knowing that, you know, his overall, and I think you said this in the last hour, his overall numbers and the way that he's pitched this season in totality is better than Alec Marsh? Is it better to just roll with those five guys with Lorenzen taking the fifth spot in the rotation than trying to cram in Alec Marsh in a six-man rotation with the potential benefit of a little bit more rest? Rest is important, but are you giving yourself potentially a worse opportunity to win ball games if you're trotting Alec Marsh out there every sixth game? And I think that's the dilemma if the Royals would even entertain this.
I don't know. I don't have a good answer. I don't know what I even prefer. I just know the options are out there, and I know that you're going to get into uncomfortable territory with all five of your with all six of these guys. They're all going to pitch more than they ever have before. and that none of them have ever been stretched out this way. None of them. And so maybe they're fine. Maybe these five guys just continue to pitch well and it's not a big deal and they go through it and who cares? Could totally happen. But I don't know that you, it's just, it's a unique situation a little bit because they have these five starters you like, but we're in uncharted territory with all of them. And so I just think it's something worth keeping in mind if we see this. It may get a little weird where you see Alec Marsh up and down. That's the other option too, I think, is to stagger it. And this maybe this is what I prefer. Maybe you don't do it all at once, but maybe you somehow come up with a system where you can push everybody a day without making something permanent. And I don't know that you'd want to skip a start, but maybe you could skip a start for everybody one time to give them you want to talk about extra rest there. Now you're really giving them extra rest. But again, I got to know more about how a body responds to doing that and then coming back at full force, right? So there's a lot to consider there. You leave that up to the training staff and you talk to the players, you do all that, but it's a good problem to have for the Royals. There's no question about that. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we've got some Chiefs audio for you. Chris Jones is back at camp. We've got Mitch Holthus talking about that. He's back and apparently looking good as well today. We've got a doppelganger for Patrick Mahomes, which has been really entertaining to watch over the last 24 hours or so. It's really strange. But we'll get into both of those, and then we'll have a little golf talk for you. Jay Delling joins us to touch on that Heritage Classic golf tournament that's happening out at Rolling Hills this week. We'll do all of that when we return. Sports Daily, don't go away. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tommy, did you see Dylan Raiola yesterday? Dylan Raiola, the Nebraska quarterback, the transfer. Is he a transfer or did he just flip from
I think he just flipped.
Ohio State?
Yeah.
Ohio, he flipped from Ohio State, and then he flipped from Georgia, and then got to Nebraska eventually. His dad, you might remember, was it Damian Raiola? Dominic Raiola. He was awesome. Offensive lineman. Well, Dylan Raiola shows up to camp, and what I can't figure out about this, and if you haven't seen it, you just look at, he looks exactly like Mahomes. And he even kind of looks like him while he's playing a little bit. Like the same kind of, you know, the little trot that Mahomes, and I'm like, is he just messing with us? Like, is he doing this on purpose? Or is it just, or is it just the way he is? That's the part I can't figure out, but it's pretty wild.
It is. It's a little creepy. I watched the video and I'm like, whoa, wait a second. And I had never seen that before. I'd never, you know, realized that he not only looks like Patrick Mahomes, has the hair like Patrick Mahomes, kind of does the little jog, the little run, walk, old man kind of move like Mahomes does. It's uncanny. But then I thought about it a little bit. Mahomes is getting to the point in his career where, you know, he's not a rookie. He hasn't been in the league for, you know, only a year or two. He's been in it for a while. He's, what, 28 now? He's been in the league going on, I think, 7 years, 8 years, you know, wherever he is at that point. Dylan Raiola is 19. That would mean that he's followed Patrick Mahomes, you know, in the NFL and maybe even before that at Texas Tech when Raiola was a kid. You know, and all the way through probably youth football and middle school and high school. And you better believe there are a lot of kids out there that that are emulating Patrick Mahomes now in the same way that people in our generation were probably, I mean, I remember emulating Joe Montana in the backyard, you know, and emulating, I would try to throw crazy passes like Brett Favre in backyard football when I was a kid. But now you've got kids that are, you know, potentially big time D1 athletes that they've emulated and looked up to Patrick Mahomes for a number of years now. It's nothing new. Now you've got a guy that, you know, has a style kind of like him. And oh, by the way, if you watch him throw, he kind of throws the ball like Mahomes does too. He was putting some pretty nice passes on there, albeit in a spring football game for Nebraska, but he's got a big arm.
Recruit.
Got a big arm.
It's the same way. It's the same way I'm sure young people are emulating us right now. I mean, I get it, right? All jokes aside. Yeah, I thought the same thing. Like, has Mahomes reached that point where kids just want to be like him, so they kind of look like him when they're playing? It's wild, and he is a good player. I mean, I imagine Nebraska fans are pretty excited. They always are. But he looks pretty good. And he, it just so happens that he looks and not just in the face or in anything. He looks like Patrick Mahomes. It's crazy. He looks just like Patrick Mahomes. So that happened out there. All right. In more important Chiefs news, it was a good day to get players back yesterday. We mentioned this. They got a lot of players back, either from illness or whatever injuries were ailing them. One of those was Chris Jones. A lot of videos of Jones at practice today, apparently looking really, really good, strong, whatever. Mitch Holthus continues this week on Steve and Ted to talk to the fellows about things he's seeing up there at camp. Had some things to say about Chris Jones. Jad has that for us. Jad, let's hit that. Here's Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs, talking about number 95.
We get all caught up in free agent signings, like who's going to what team and who's moving around. And the biggest free agent signing of the entire season was us re-signing Chris Jones. With Aaron Donald retiring with the Rams, Chris is now the top interior defensive lineman in the National Football League. You look at his career, he's really starting to fashion a whole Hall of Fame career, not just Chiefs Ring of Honor, but Pro Football Hall of Fame. And it's not just sacks with Chris. It's the passes defended, the passes affected, his wingspan, his athleticism.
I mean, it is, and I don't think he's starting to fashion a Hall of Famer. I think he's a Hall of Famer. Like, if he never played another snap, Tommy, I think he'd probably be a Hall of Famer. He has been flat dominant. You know, he missed a lot of games early in his career. That has not been a problem for him lately. 2020, 14 games. 2021, 14 games. 22, 17. 23, 16. Which, you'll remember, it's 16, not 17, because he didn't play the first game because of a holdout. But it's interesting. Tackles for loss, you know, he's been really good in that regard. He is hitting the quarterback, but he had 10 and a half sacks last year and followed a 15 and a half sack season. You know, he's probably, if he plays two more years, going to get to 100 sacks over his career. It is a little different than we see defensive ends. Defensive linemen, we know this about Aaron Donald. If you can get pressure up the middle, there's really not anything more valuable on a defense. That's not the first time Mitch Holthus has said that's the most important thing the Chiefs did this offseason. I have said I would have prioritized Snead, but if Jones is healthy and Jones just gives you what he gave you last year for two more years, then yeah, I mean, that's it. I think the question becomes how likely is that? And honestly, the injury thing is way behind him. Like he hasn't really had much issue with that for a long time. He's been out there and available and all of these things. And, you know, early looks at camp show he still looks very good, but Chris Jones is, you know, he's a kind of a key to everything for them defensively. They've got to make up for the loss in the secondary by creating quarterback pressure. And, you know, have we seen the ceiling of Chris Jones, do you think? Does having Karlaftis in there and maybe a step up from Anudike Uzama and some of the line, like, could Jones even reach another level as a pass rusher if some of the pressure is taken off of him? I don't know. I think there's a chance. I'd say it's unlikely that he ever surpasses his what we've seen from his ceiling so far, but maybe there's a chance for that.
It's such a negative connotation, and I don't mean that you are specifically meaning it in a negative way, but I just think that the thought is like, has he already peaked? Has he already hit his ceiling? Well, yeah, he probably has. The guy is older, right? He's in his,
yeah, he's
what, 33?
He's going to be 30. This is his age 30,
that's
season.
Right. He's getting older, been in the league for a long time, but that's okay. Even if he's already probably reached his peak, and, you know, maybe will, I mean, more than likely not surpass what he's done in the past, it doesn't mean that he's still not the most effective player at his position.
Absolutely.
Now in the,
yeah,
National Football League. And so, you know, I don't want to get caught up in, oh, you know, is he going to lose a step? Because even Chris Jones losing a step is still better than anybody else doing the job right now in the National Football League. So I think we have to keep that context in mind too, as we go forward. And that's why, I mean, I agree with Mitch Holthus when he says that was the most impactful, you know, free agent signing, or the most impactful signing in the offseason was getting him locked up, because just the stability that he provides, assuming that health does not play a role. And I know that he's dealt with a little bit of a pulled groin or strained groin during training camp, I think was the diagnosis.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's a totally serious thing at all. Assuming that, and that's going to be a risk that all players as they age have to deal with, is that your health, you have to keep up, and it becomes harder to do so. Assuming all of that continues to check out, even if it is Chris Jones minus a step, you're still talking about Chris Jones, and it's incredible.
I always feel like I need to qualify this. Chris Jones is absolutely on a short list of one of my favorite players I've ever watched play football. I love his energy. I love his attitude. I love his personality. And I certainly love the way he plays the game. And I agree. If Aaron Donald was not, you know, in existence, Chris Jones to the national world would have been, and he is. Look, he plays for the two-time defending Super Bowl champions. He is a football celebrity. Don't get me wrong. One of my favorites ever. I think with the injury, that was always my concern the first time on a, you know, contract negotiation, is you just got to be a little bit careful there. Look, he didn't play at all in training camp last year. Missed the first game, played 16. I think any of those concerns are gone. I mean, look, if he in 2020 and 2021, he gave you 14 starts. Wouldn't you be just fine with that any
Absolutely.
Year that he plays now?
100%.
So it really has, you got to go way, way back, 5 seasons ago. It was early in his career where it kind of plagued him a little bit. And look, he was playing. It was missed time, but not like significant stuff. So if he's healthy and he's able to stay out on the field, great. His importance to this team, it's equal, Tommy, to what Mahomes and Kelsey bring to the offense. It's equivalent, I should say. Because on that side of the ball, it's unquestioned now, as they've had to let guys walk. What leads the way for them defensively? Chris Jones and the best of George Karlaftis that is a really interesting thing to think about. Those two together, right? If Karlaftis ups his game, and I think most of us think he will, right? He'll even reach another level. And you throw that in with Jones, who knows what you get on the other side? I think that's one of the bigger questions for this team. But if they get quarterback pressure better than they have, that's where the defense can be a little bit different, I think. If the secondary wanes, maybe you make up for it with a pass rush. And there have been years where the Chiefs have had, you know, the best pass rush ever and a terrible secondary. You might be able to get both. And it all starts with Chris Jones, and it all starts around him too. You got to take the pressure off of him. But up the middle, I mean, the thing with him too is, and this is all, I've always had a hard time with this with defensive tackles. Defensive tackles are not typically going to have those eye-popping numbers that you look at like a defensive end will, although Chris Jones has had 15 and a half sacks. But when you watch the games, I remember it's one of the playoff games, I think, somebody not from here, right, that isn't locked into the Chiefs all the time like we are. Chris Jones is in on everything. Like, he is everywhere and in on everything. And I was like, yeah, he is always that way. Like, if you watch a defensive play, most of the time he's disrupting something. And that is what defensive tackles do. And so, yeah, like, it doesn't always mean he's got a sack, but when you, at minimum, when you have to take two guys to block him up the middle, that's impacting and disrupting an offense, I think. So good to see him back healthy, and he appears to be back healthy. You can look at some of the videos today. He looks good out there. I mean, he looks real good out there right now. And that is a great sign for the Chiefs. Just another great sign for the Chiefs. Off the field, a little shaky this offseason. On the field, looking real good right now early on for Kansas City.
It's a great thing, and they absolutely have to have it. And the best thing about, I know it's been a rocky and tumultuous offseason in a number of ways off the field for Kansas City, and rightfully so. It's been nice that it's been quiet lately. You know, like, there really hasn't
Very
been
nice.
There really hasn't been a whole lot of distractions during training camp.
Yeah, it's good when we're talking about Kermit the Frog and doppelgangers.
I was concerned, honestly, about that going into training camp, because it had been such a noisy offseason. And then you think back to the way that the last training camp period went, and then into the preseason, where it was dominated by Chris Jones talk. Everywhere you turned, it was Chris Jones, Chris Jones, Chris Jones, where, you know, then you had Andy Reid having to answer questions about it, and Patrick Mahomes having to answer questions, and Travis Kelce having to answer questions.
And they weren't happy about it.
They weren't happy. And you could tell, I mean, it was a dramatic offseason. I don't know in retrospect, if you can draw a correlation between the noise in the offseason and them not playing in the regular season to the best of their ability, I don't know if you can maybe even draw a slight general correlation between those
two. Yeah, you'd have to show me how, you know, Sky Moore not being able to catch the ball.
Sure.
Because that, I mean,
but I think there is, I think that there is something to be said about, you know, an overall culture being distracted.
I do agree with that. I totally agree with that. And it's just one more thing as we're just evaluating the league, man, I haven't been able to find a reason yet to have any pessimism about what the Chiefs have going. And we'll try, because we're trying to be fair about it and trying to be honest about it. But I haven't found it yet. And we'll see. And you know, the preseason games and all that in the early season will show us. But it just feels good right now in Kansas City.
That is, and the that upside is tremendous. That is something else that Mitch said today on Steve and Ted when he was talking to us. Almost exactly that. He said that when he started looking at the defense, because he's been kind of – he started with Andy Reid, and then he kind of switched things over to the offense and Patrick Mahomes, and now he was looking at the defense and Chris Jones. One of the things he said was when he started looking at things from the defensive side, he said the atmosphere in camp was just night and day between this year and last year. Entirely different.
Do you think, Chad, is that because Chris Jones is there, where he wasn't there last year?
That's got to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Because he's the guy,
he's
right?
A tone
that's
setter.
What I mean. When
he's
I say
a tone
it's
setter,
that's when I say it's equitable. His impact to the defense is what you see from Mahomes slash Kelsey to the offense. That's what I mean. Like he is the guy there. Like it would be equivalent to one of those other guys with a contract dispute. So I'm with you. And look, Mitch told us before they ever saw him, he thought they could be better than they were a year ago. I still got to see it, and I won't believe it until we see it on the field in a regular season game, just because of based on how good they were last year more than anything else. But Chris Jones being there all camp, maybe it has an impact. Maybe I'm just if Mitch is right about that. Good luck, everybody. If they stay healthy, they're winning another Super Bowl. If he's right about that, if they're better defensively than they were a year ago, I mean, come on now. The offense is going to be better, significantly better. If the defense is too, what are we doing here? It's going to be a fun season, Chiefs fans. Get ready for it. Of course, home of the Chiefs right here in our Odyssey family of networks. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Get out there. We're about to get back to that golfing weather. Rained a little bit. Maybe get out there today. All you got to do is give them a call. They'll show you around 36 holes of golf, great swimming pool, great tennis facility, all the good stuff there at Crestview. They'll be happy to show it to you. Tell them we sent you. We appreciate their support. Speaking of golf, we're going to talk about a golf tournament happening in Wichita this week that maybe you've heard of, maybe you haven't, but it's a lot of good history here. We'll tell you about it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next on Sports Daily. All right, welcome back in, everybody. We've got the Heritage Classic out at Rolling Hills, and it's a big-time golf tournament, and it's a tour championship for the Annika Women's All-Pro Tour. We're going to give you an opportunity to win some tickets here in just a minute. We're joined now by Jay Delling, who's helping them out there. A pro-am yesterday, I believe, a pro-am. I feel like it's an indictment on my golf game. That these media things keep happening, Jay, and nobody's asking for my services out there. Wichita Open, Tommy show me. I'm like, where, guys, I can give you a big old fat handicap. I might contribute one or two shots in an 18 hole round. But you guys had that out there. How are you, Jay? Welcome in.
I'm good. But can you play under your handicap? See, that's the key in
golf. That's the important thing.
Under my beer handicap, my stroke handicap.
Well, both, because both were applicable yesterday.
Yeah. No, I can chip in. I can chip in with both.
I love that.
How are you, Jay? How's the tournament out there?
You know, the tournament's so great. It's a fun vibe out here. Rolling Hills does just an outstanding job in hosting this event. The ladies are just amazing people, and I got a firsthand chance at seeing just how good they are. Yesterday, I played in the pro-am, played with Haley Cooper, who played her college golf at Texas and Texas A&M. Great player in her first three tournaments on this tour. She's got two wins and a seventh, and I joked with her about, did you fall asleep when you took seventh? I mean, come on, three in a row, right? Just a wonderful personality. And she, I saw her shoot 567 yesterday, and it was about the easiest 67 I've ever seen.
Wow.
So these ladies can play. They've got a lot to play for, because the top five point earners on this tour come Sunday will automatically get into stage two of the LPGA qualifying school, which is a huge, huge deal. And they're all really excited about that opportunity.
You know, this tournament, Jay, out at Rolling Hills Country Club on the west side of Wichita. And I'm not sure that a lot of people know or understand the history of women's golf at Rolling Hills Country Club and the birthplace of the LPGA and all of that. And so that makes this particular tour, this particular event, that much more important because of the connection that women's golf has to that particular location.
Yeah, great point, Tommy. 74 years ago, right here on this hallowed ground, Babe Zaharias, who won the U.S. Women's Open here at Rolling Hills in 1950. So after she, I'm sure, put up a pretty big bar tab, after that, she and 12 of the stars of that era sat down right here on this location, and they mapped out the vision, the business plan, the bylaws, which is now the LPGA Tour, which now plays for $125 million in prize money in 2024. So you're right, Tommy. It's a historical place in women's golf. It's been a staple here in Wichita for many, many years. And again, the folks here at Rolling Hills, they do it right. And it's just an amazing experience, not only for, you know, for me and our media team out here, but the members love it. And the ladies tell us that by far, it's not even close. This is the best they're treated all year long.
As in Wichita has that reputation as it should. So what about for folks that might want to come check it out? What is happening out there? You mentioned the stakes that are on the line. They're very high for these ladies, but what is a part of the fanfare out there that people can check out?
Yeah. So there's, you know, first of all, admission is free. So it doesn't cost anything to come out and watch these. It's like the Corn Ferry Tour, right? The three of us have been working on that for years and years and years, and we see these stars of tomorrow, you know, the Scottie Schefflers, the Jason Days. We could just go on and on and on. Same thing on this tour. These ladies will, some of them will ultimately be on the LPGA Tour. So there's no admission. Public parking is at Bishop Carroll, and we will be shuttling them over to Rolling Hills. The time on the shuttles is 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. So come on out. Free golf. Got concessions here, so lots of water and lots of trees, so lots of shade. You can kind of manage yourself around. But these ladies can flat play. In fact, many of the early starters this morning, a lot of them were birding 1, 2, and 3. I mean, birdies were flying like crazy. Megan Osland, who's 17th on the points list, is leading the tournament right now through 9 holes at 5 under par. So she shot 31, 5 under par on the front 9. I mean, these ladies are no joke. It's so much fun to watch them.
And you can do it. And they'll be playing all weekend here at Rolling Hills. And we're going to give you a chance right now to get out there and check it out via the party patio. All you got to do for that out at Rolling Hills, again, it's the Heritage Classic Tournament. It's the tour championship for this particular tour, is text the keyword golf to the short code 20357. That's golf to 20357. You can enter once a day. We'll have one opportunity today, one opportunity tomorrow. Message and data rates apply. So get out there, say hi to Jay, and watch some great golf. Jay, we appreciate it. Let's talk again tomorrow about more of what's happening on the leaderboard.
You got it. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
There goes Jay Delling out from Rolling Hills, reporting on site there. Always great golf ambassador for the city of Wichita. Another great tournament for the city of Wichita. And look, it's cool. The history there and the history of, you know, the sport in this town is something that's really getting put in the spotlight the last few years, I would say. And it's cool to see because, you know, like, why not? Like, you get that history. I was talking to TJ Cleland, 12 News. He played in that Pro-Am yesterday. And I was like, how was it? How'd you guys play? And he's like, well, we were 10 under and we were last. And I'm like, that doesn't surprise me. Media teams typically are in last place in my history.
That's like, the way that those things usually work.
That's the way that, but he said they used every drive from their pro, and they're all teeing off from the blacks too, by the way.
Yeah.
He's like, she hits it a mile.
Yeah.
That's kind of hurt. I was like, that's awesome.
You know, it's definitely, if you go out today or actually anytime throughout the course of the weekend to Rolling Hills Country Club and check out this Heritage Classic tournament, it's going to be a hot one. Take those precautions. I think it's great that, you know, there's free admission to be able to go out and watch potentially these future stars in women's golf in this tour championship tournament. So a lot on the line for them, a lot of, you know, pretty high stakes to get into qualifying for the next tour up for them, and you know, get out and enjoy it. And then, like you mentioned, we've got that chance to win the premium tickets, the party porch tickets, and so that will make it that much more fun. But regardless, if you're looking for something fun to do this weekend with the family, free admission, take them out to Rolling Hills to watch it. Just make sure to stay cool while you're out there.
Stay cool. Watch out for the oak mites. Watch out for the mosquitoes. I'm joking about the mosquito thing. Keep yourself safe from the mosquitoes. It's going to be a bad West Nile year. It looks like, but yeah, just, you know, it's not as hot today. At least got a little rain, which is always good for the scoring, right? When you're out there, So just get after it there.
Well, the good thing is, I mean, you know, we don't really talk current events a lot on this show, but you know, we're dealing in this area with a drought that's come on, you know, pretty quickly. And not that, you know, the storms that rolled through last night will automatically solve the problem, but anytime it's going to rain, you know, in July, this time of year, you know, certainly doesn't hurt things.
Yeah. It was a very welcome storm. Let's call it, as the city of Wichita and Sedgwick County are looking at possible restrictions on water here pretty quick. But get out there and enjoy some golf. That's all I'll say. I wish I was playing right now. I wish that I was out there playing right now, because what are we looking at here? 85 degrees at 11 o'clock in the morning. Come on now.
Well, it's going to be had that in a little while. 106 this afternoon, you know, so
later.
Now, yeah. You know, I wonder if, like, when it's days like today, when it's going to get so hot in the afternoon, maybe we ought to air a rerun. That way you and I can go play golf before it gets really hot.
We'll work on that. We'll talk to some people and see. All right, let's take our break. We've got our giveaways. I think all our housekeeping's done. Both giveaways are out there for you. We've got more Royals baseball tonight. We'll tell you about it. It's an interesting start time in these, you know, some of these series. Detroit is one of those cities where it is an interesting start time. So we'll tell you about that. We'll get you all set up for the day. Or Royals baseball, can they do something special in another road series against a team that's struggling? We'll get that all teed up for you. Don't go away. Sports Daily, coming right back.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.